This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasodhi. Today we're discussing how to save your leg. I mean, we are the fattest nation in Southeast Asia. We see a whole lot of us with heart disease today. High cholesterols accumulating mostly. We always assume it's always in the heart, but, you know, it can accumulate even in your leg. So in the studio with me today, Dr. Kumara Guruparan Ganesan. He's a consultant cardiologist from Institute Jantung Negara. We're going to be talking about, most of all, peripheral artery disease, which is some blockages in the leg, isn't it? Welcome to the show, Dr. Kumara. How are you today?
Thank you, Meera. I'm fine. Thank you.
You want to just quickly give me a bit of a background on the circulatory system in the leg and what's actually going on there?
So people are very used to hearing about heart attacks and blockages in the coronary arteries, the vessels that supply blood to the heart. The same problem can affect any blood vessel in the body. And our topic of concern today is, of course, peripheral artery disease. Mm-hmm. And this is mainly affecting the lower limbs. So why peripheral? Basically, it involves any organ which is going away from the heart. So it's in the peripheral.
Why the lower limbs? I've always wondered, actually. Why does it pose or become a problem in the lower limbs?
The arteries in the legs, they are of such construction that they are predisposed to these atherosclerotic changes. So they are more common to develop disease in the legs than in the hands. But this disease can also affect any other vessel in the body, okay, even the carotid vessels which supply the brain. So a person who has got peripheral artery disease, who has got blockages in the lower limbs, can also have concomitant coronary artery disease affecting the heart, or even be predisposed to getting a stroke when there's any disease blocking the vessels going to the brain.
So you're talking about what you're saying is you're referring to cholesterol in the legs.
Yes, cholesterol
in the arteries
in the
of the legs.
Vessels supplying the legs.
In
yes.
the vessels of the legs.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
And what are the common complaints when you see patients with leg pain?
Okay, most patients complain of pain. And this pain is usually crampy in nature. And it is brought about by exertion, meaning when you walk or you exercise, you get this pain mainly over the buttocks, sometimes on the thighs or even in the calf muscles. And this pain is usually brought on by exertion, meaning when you exercise or you walk a long distance. And when the pain comes, you stop and it goes off with rest. So when there's a demand for more blood, the pain occurs. When you rest and there's no demand, the pain goes off.
So most of the time it happens when you're active.
Active, yes. And this is what we call intermittent claudication.
Okay, what does that mean?
Basically, pain which comes in the limbs, affecting the muscles, brought on by exertion. But this is just, this is a very benign form of peripheral artery disease. Most patients actually come in a later stage, especially in Malaysia, when they have already got some gangrene or discoloration of their toes, or when there's a non-healing ulcer which is already it's already threatening the limb, where the patient has to go for amputation.
Is there anyone who's predisposed, more predisposed to this condition compared to anyone else?
Okay. Basically, the risk factors include diabetes. Patients who are diabetic are at extreme high risk of developing peripheral artery disease. Those who smoke, especially heavy smokers, can develop peripheral vascular disease. Other risk factors include hypertension, high cholesterol, obesity, and of course, leading a sedentary lifestyle.
Okay, so let's talk about the diabetics. Mm-hmm. Almost one in five of us in Malaysia has diabetes. How do you reduce the risk of peripheral arterial disease? Because if that's the number one risk, diabetes, then does that mean every diabetic patient will have PAD?
Okay, what's sad about diabetes in Malaysia is that it's starting to affect the younger patients. We are seeing more and more people coming in with diabetes being diagnosed at the age of 20s and the 30s. Those were the days when we saw patients coming with diabetes in the 50s and 60s. So we are getting more and more younger patients with bad diabetes.
And bad meaning uncontrolled.
Uncontrolled, and which is diagnosed quite late. And when they come in, the control is so bad that they may have to be commenced on insulin right from the beginning. What's important is recognizing the problem. And patients who are diabetic are definitely at a higher risk of developing PAD or peripheral artery disease. So it is recommended that all diabetics should have a screening program done once at least every year.
How do you screen?
Okay, there are a few tests that can be done. The simplest of which is ABI, an ankle brachial index. This test is usually available in most hospitals. It's a non-invasive test, quite cheap, and takes about 5 to 10 minutes to be done. Basically, it's measuring the pressure in your arms and your legs, and we compare them. And if there's any ratio of less than 0.9, there's indication that they may be suffering from peripheral artery disease.
Okay. So do you think it's much of a success? Do people come forward to get themselves tested?
That's the problem. I think the awareness is quite seriously lacking among Malaysians. And let alone PAD, I think we have bigger issues with even coronary artery disease, patients who present with stroke. And most patients who come with these problems are diabetics. And I think the lack of awareness and the understanding of the seriousness of the problem is the main problem here.
What happens if it goes undiagnosed, or, you know, you, as you said, it sometimes there's discoloration in the leg, in the toes, that sort of thing. What if it goes undiagnosed? What happens then?
Okay, in the initial stage, it's more of pain. It can be quite disabling. I mean, those in the younger age group, those who are in the working age group, I'm sure it'll be a activity limiting problem, so they may not be able to give in their full capacity. In the more advanced stage, then when there is a wound in the leg, an ulcer which doesn't heal, or where there's any gangrene, then there is a high probability that the person is going to lose the toes or even the limb. So that can not just affect physically, but emotionally, financially, and the impact is huge on the person.
Does it take a while for it to build up in diabetics?
It depends. If the sugar control is bad, meaning the diabetes is not very well controlled, then disease can progress quite rapidly. In those who are not diabetic, then the progression is a bit slower. But if there is significant blockage in the arteries in the legs, then the problem can escalate quite fast.
Can you relate to me what you see in IJN at the moment in relation to peripheral artery disease?
Okay, as you know, IJN
your
is...
Your observations?
Yeah, we are the biggest cardiac center in Southeast Asia. So we've got a huge pool of patients with coronary artery disease or heart disease. And I would say 90% of our patients who come with peripheral artery disease are patients with coronary artery disease. So we call it a triad. Those who have peripheral artery disease will also have coronary artery disease and with a predisposition to get a stroke. So we pick this up during routine screening. We screen our patients for peripheral artery disease. And if the patient is symptomatic, then we advise them to go for further investigation.
And have you detected or have you, you know, managed to diagnose many people who have or, you know, who possibly then go on to get treated for peripheral artery disease?
Yes, we actively look out for these patients. So they either, if they are asymptomatic, they get a screening, an ABI, an ankle brachial index. If they are symptomatic, they go through an ultrasound Doppler or a CT investigation to find out the level of blockage and the severity of it. And if the patient agrees, then we counsel them for either medical treatment. We treat with drugs first. Then we subject them to either peripheral intervention or even surgery.
Okay. It's interesting that you as a cardiologist also looks at this. I mean, it's a no-brainer, but most of the time when I interview people in relation to peripheral artery disease, it has to do with the vascular surgeons who actually go in and do this so-called bypass when you have cholesterol in your lower limbs. Why is it the leg is most vulnerable? You said it's also the structure in which this happens. But do you also look at, as a cardiologist, to look at cholesterol buildup in the other areas that you mentioned about earlier?
Yeah. As cardiologists, 90% of our work still revolves around the heart. We still do coronary interventions. But there are two of us, myself and Dr. Shaiful, who have been picked by the institution and sent for training. Dr. Shaiful got it done in the United States. Mm-hmm. I got mine done in Italy.
What did you train in?
In peripheral intervention.
Okay.
So in the Europe, you can see a change of mindset. More and more cardiologists, interventional radiologists and vascular surgeons are moving towards peripheral intervention rather than going for open surgery and subjecting a patient for bypass. They are now trying to introduce this peripheral intervention, where this is more of a minimally invasive approach, where the patient just needs a puncture, not a cut. There is no scars left behind, and blockages can be opened with balloons, and then if necessary, with drug-coated balloons or even stents.
Exactly like you would do in the heart.
Precisely, yes.
And is it still a dye that goes through, and is it exactly the same procedure?
Very much, just that the vessels in the lakes are much bigger. They are about 6 to 7 millimeters in diameter. The one in the coronary arteries are only about 3 to 4 millimeters. So the devices that we use are pretty similar. It's just that the size is a bit bigger, and it requires a bit of training and skills to use them.
Okay, and so not many people are trained to do peripheral intervention.
We are getting more and more, not just from within the country. We're also getting foreign fellows coming and joining us in IJN for training in peripheral intervention.
Okay, so you foresee this to be a really big problem.
And
yes. With Malaysia leading with diabetics in the region.
Yeah, I think the main problem is underdiagnosis. We are not picking up problems enough. And that is mainly because of ignorance. Patients do not understand that they have that diabetes is a big thing, that peripheral artery disease can lead to amputation and, you know, other sequelae. And if you have peripheral artery disease, you may also have coronary artery disease or have a predisposition to get a stroke.
Absolutely.
So it all comes as a package. And patients must empower themselves with this knowledge to know that, you know, this is not just high sugar in the blood. It's more than that. And those who are smoking, especially picking it up at a very young age, you should give it up as soon as possible. That is another reason why patients develop peripheral artery disease at a young age in the non-diabetic group.
And we haven't even thrown in family history into
precisely,
this yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're discussing how to save your leg if you peripheral artery disease is what we're discussing. Dr. Kumara Guruparan Ganesan, consultant cardiologist from IGN, in the studio with me. When we come back, we'll find out a little bit more about what happens when you don't address some of these conditions. Is it too late to? When is it too late to save the leg? All of that coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. In the studio with me, Dr. Kumara Guruparan Ganesan. He's a consultant cardiologist from Institute Jantung Negara. We're discussing how to save your leg. We're discussing how cholesterol can actually build up in your lower limbs. Dr. Kumara has explained why, because the vessels in your leg are bigger. They're a little different compared to structurally a little bit different from the other vessels. And so hence the accumulation in the lower limbs. A lot of times we don't realize there's a buildup in the lower limbs because we don't really do angiograms of the leg, do we? Do we?
We do.
With the heart?
We do now.
Because with the hearts you do. Yeah. With the heart you do it, right?
Yes. We are so used to hearing people going for angiograms of the heart.
Yes.
Almost everyone, someone we know has gone through one. But we hardly hear of anyone going for an angiogram of the legs. But that's precisely what we do. Angiogram of the leg. To find out where the problem is and then institute the right therapy.
That's the ABI you're talking
the
about?
The ABI is more of a non-invasive test. That's an ultrasound. The angiogram is an invasive procedure.
When do you decide that an angiogram is needed?
Okay, if the patient has symptoms, she complains of pain or crampy pain, or they have an impending gangrene where the toe is going to be lost or amputation is imminent. In those kind of situations, then we'll counsel the patient for an angiogram. So a proper consent is taken because it's an invasive procedure. A small puncture is made in the groin. A small 2 millimeter diameter catheter is brought down to the vessel. And then a dye is injected into the vessel.
Yeah.
And then we have an X-ray machine just going in circles and taking pictures of your lower limb from the thigh right down to the foot. And then we decide what to do. If we find a blockage, then if it's treatable with angioplasty, we try to push down a wire, balloon the lesion, and then either finish off with a stent or a drug-coated balloon. In cases where the disease is really very bad and that angioplasty may not give a better option, then that's when we get the vascular surgeons in for a bypass surgery.
Okay. Oh, my God. Yeah. We always talk about the heart. This is your leg we're discussing today, doing the angiogram, angioplasty, as well as the bypass in your leg. What about complications? Will this save a leg, for an example, if you do peripheral intervention? Will it save the leg? What are the chances?
Okay. I think in the last 10 years of us doing peripheral angioplasties in IGN, I must say we have seen very encouraging results. Most of the time, patients who have a non-healing ulcer or gangrene of the toes, they go to a clinic, they get dressing done, and after some time, both the doctor and the patient gives up, and they end up with an amputation. they see an orthopedic surgeon and then they go for an amputation. With peripheral angioplasty, we at least give the toes and the limb a chance. I mean, it's not rocket science to understand that the wound will not heal until there's enough blood flow. Only when there's adequate blood flow to the wound will heal. So what we are doing is basically opening up the blood vessel to allow adequate blood flow to allow wound healing. We are not really concerned about the patency of blood vessels in such cases. All we need to do is have blood flow down to the toes for about 2 to 3 weeks to allow wound healing. When the wound heals, even if the blood vessel closes up, it's not a major issue.
Okay. And are more and more people open to this idea?
I think that with more and more awareness programs, by word of mouth, and referrals from doctors who know the services that we offer in IJN, we have an increase in numbers of referrals. So we are seeing more and more patients. Even those who go to GPs for dressing, they are referred to us first. We get the angioplasty done, open up as many blood vessels as possible, and then send the patient back for regular dressing, and we see better outcome.
So it's then, if that's the case, it shouldn't be ever too late to save the leg.
I mean, yes.
Given that you have this option.
You're right. Yes, of course. I think, if you're going to lose the whole limb, it's best to go through angioplasty and try to minimize the amputation. If it's at the point where you have to go through amputation, what we're offering is a procedure to reduce the level of amputation. You rather have it, if you really have to lose your toes, then just lose your toes. Not go up right to the leg and lose the whole limb. That's more devastating.
Okay, so that means everybody has this option.
Yes, most of the time the patient is assessed, and if we feel that angioplasty will be of benefit to this patient, then we'll discuss it with the patient and the family.
You know, most of the time people who with PAD do not have symptoms. They don't realize that the arteries in the lower limbs are actually getting clogged up. How will you ever know?
Okay, that's when it's important to have a very good relationship with your doctor. I think you'd see, if you're diabetic, you should get an ABI or an assessment of your lower limbs on an annual basis. If your ABI is persistently normal for about 5 years, then you can do it like once in 2 years. But patients with diabetes are known to have numbness in the limbs. So they may present with symptoms very late in the scenario compared to those without diabetes.
Okay, so but you're focusing only on the diabetics. What about those with hypertension, for an example?
Of course, any of those risk factors that I mentioned, hypertension, high cholesterol, family history, those with obesity, they all are subjected to the same risk. But it's just that those who smoke and have diabetes are at a higher risk.
Okay, then there's this tendency to, I have some leg pain, let me do a foot massage. Will that improve circulation?
It may improve the local circulation. If there's an obstruction, just say at your thigh, no amount of massage is going to allow blood flow to go down to the foot. But it may improve some microcirculation. The key point is getting most amount of blood down from the thigh right down to the foot.
Are you not concerned? I mean, there are going to be more and more of us, given our lifestyle and our risk factors, that more and more of us are actually going to, come to you with PAD and other vascular diseases. Where do we go with this?
Okay, it's actually quite scary.
And you would probably be, you're at the forefront of it.
Yeah, we are seeing, what's scary about the whole situation is we are seeing younger patients coming in with the problem. The youngest patient I had with an MI or heart attack was 22. He was a smoker, came in with a very bad heart attack and almost died. And luckily from what we did and all, he's okay now. But it's just not the heart. We're also seeing patients who are young coming in with early onset of diabetes and then complications of diabetes like peripheral artery disease. I think rather than focusing on the tertiary care, a lot has to be done at primary care level.
Meaning?
We have to really bring down the incidence of diabetes, cholesterol, high cholesterol, dyslipidemia, or those with hypertension and obesity. We are not proud of being the fattest nation in Asia, but I think more has to be done, more awareness has to be created. If not, it is going to be a big financial drain, not to just to the patient, but to the nation also.
So with the younger and younger patients coming in, of course, you do peripheral intervention, which is like a bypass. I mean, I apologize, which is an angioplasty in the lower limb.
Yeah.
And does that mean eventually, because you're being diagnosed so young, eventually you will need a bypass?
The possibilities are there because angioplasties may last for about 5 to 10 years. And if you get your first one done in the 40s, 30s or 40s, then of course you may have to come for a repeat procedure in about 10 years. And there may come a time when you will not be able to offer angioplasty and surgery may be the only way out.
But can you not manage it well with medication?
We can. If the problem is picked up early, and if the diabetes is managed properly, meaning your fasting blood sugars and your HbA1c are maintained well, you take the appropriate medication. You have the blood thinners, you have the statins, you have the right diabetic medication. I'm sure we can delay the progression. I'm not saying that you will not develop peripheral artery disease by reducing risk factors, but we can delay the onset and progression. What can happen within the next 10 years can be pushed to maybe 20, 30 years' time.
Are we faltering in that area as well? I mean, we're being diagnosed young. What about compliance?
It is a major issue. We have more and more people who are now, who are busy at work. They have so many things to catch up with, work, family, kids.
And you're in your youth. You want to eat. You want to make the best of your life, isn't
Precisely,
it?
Precisely, yeah. Those things are there, but I think the most important thing is the awareness. So you can do all those things and also lead a healthy lifestyle. You can eat. We are not saying don't eat, but at the same time, exercise. Lose the weight. Don't carry excess fat. Eat healthy. You can eat, but we're not saying don't eat, just eat healthy. And if you have a family history, that's just too bad. You can't choose your parents or your grandparents. So if they are predisposed to such risk factors, then you have to be a bit careful. Life is not fair. We can't have everything. So if you know that you're at risk, then do the right thing. Exercise, lose weight, eat right. And if possible, go for a medical examination once in every 6 months to 1 year.
What is the prognosis with good care and management?
It's good. The prognosis is good. And I think with the right approach, with the right mindset, I think patients who have PAD will do well with the right treatment approach.
And can you exercise if you have PAD?
If the PAD is not activity limiting, if it's not that bad, actually, we promote exercise. We tell patients to walk more than usual to improve the blood circulation and improve collateral formation. Our body is beautiful. If there's a blockage, our blood vessels, small blood vessels, tend to open up to form collaterals. So we tell patients to exercise more to, in fact, improve this collateral circulation formation. If the patient has already got PAD, the symptoms can be quite debilitating. They may not be able to do the exercise. So that's when you have to seek treatment. Either go for angioplasty or bypass surgery, remove the blockage, and you'll be able to lead a better life after that.
Can you still exercise after?
Yes, you can. And we encourage patients to go into their normal exercise or even more than what they used to do before.
Just as if you would have done it for the heart.
Precisely.
It's exactly the same.
Exactly the same
thing.
Yeah.
What would be your advice on proper care of the circulation of the legs?
Okay, I think we all take our feet for granted.
Mm-hmm.
so much emphasis on the heart, the brain, the kidneys and all. But the feet take you everywhere. They bear your weight and a lot of attention has to be given to the legs. Not something that should be paranoid about, but it's good to know that such problems can come. So the awareness is very important. And that has to come very early on. Even parents should educate their children on, good healthcare, good eating habits, exercise, sleeping early, less stress, less time on the phone and things like that. All in all, I think when patients develop that positive mindset and lead a positive lifestyle, overall there will be an improvement. And if possible, if you just want to focus on the legs, if you're diabetic and you are predisposed to peripheral artery disease, at least look at your feet once a week. Just have a mirror, have a look at it.
What are we looking for?
Any cracks, any ulcers. I've had a patient walking around with a nail in his foot
because
almost a week.
Feel
yeah, peripheral neuropathy. He couldn't feel a nail for almost a week until somebody actually pointed out to him. So these are things that can happen, do happen. I mean, we see them quite often. Examine your feet and just use a mirror. See if you're missing any ulcer, any wound. If your skin is extremely dry, apply some moisturizers. If there's a non-healing ulcer, anything for more than about a week or two, seek attention immediately. And if you see any discoloration that is not normal, if the toe is becoming blue, a bit red, or even black, is a bit too late. But if you see such discoloration, you should see medical attention immediately.
Okay, thank you very much. If you have a patient coming to sit in front of you, and you should give, what would be your advice to patients in terms of asking your cardiologist the right questions? What are your options? You know, what should you be saying, asking?
Okay, if you are seeing your doctor or cardiologist, I think you should speak to them about peripheral artery disease. Just at least get the awareness, get the information that is available, get an ABI done on an annual basis. And if further treatment is necessary, either get yourself referred to a vascular surgeon or a cardiologist or a peripheral interventionist who has got interest in peripheral artery disease.
And then you can get yourself fixed quite easily, actually.
Yes,
okay.
Indeed.
Thank you very much for joining us today. Dr. Kumara Guruparan Ganesan, a consultant cardiologist from Institute Jantung Negara, speaking to us about peripheral artery disease on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.